Mothers? Mothers? By those forms. Dasanya. Charming. Avayavai. Whose limbs? Udara. Exalted. Vilasya. Past times. Hasya. Smiling. Iksita, glances. Vama, pleasing. Suktai, whose delightful words. Vita, captivated. Atmanaha, their minds. Rita, captivated. Pranan, their senses. Cha, and bhakti, devotional service. Anichata, unwilling. May, my. Katam, abode. Anvim, sato. Payukte, secures. Translation. Upon seeing the charming form of the Lord, smiling, attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotees almost lost all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Could that to me, please? Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotees almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decorations of the deities in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service, as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Brahman Bhuyaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity, in his original state in Brahman, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman, but simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is a servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third class devotee, who is not advanced in the knowledge of the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temples, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deities, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shraddha Yavitaha, with great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan and Ramana and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is a state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in a transcendental position, above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations, by the aroma of tulasi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees, even though they were in the liberated state. Instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord, and they became devotees. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or the pastimes of the Lord. It is prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time, he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is a system of Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastra. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, his form, his activities, and his transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Lord Caitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. One, to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Two, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. Three, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Four, to see the decorated temple and the deities, and if possible, five, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help to a devotee achieve the highest perfection. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, and here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The third class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation. This is accepted in all Vedic literatures. Third-class devotees attaining liberation. One is already liberated. Interesting discussion. First, I want to thank the devotees for being who they are. You know, Los Angeles is one of the most important cities, third most important city in America. From the East Coast, we say New York and Washington is first and second. But it's nice that you're third. But actually, you want me back to the East Coast, son. But it's wonderful that we have here one of the most amazing managed temples, you know, in the world. And it's so nice to be here. It's unfortunate when you travel around, you have to give the class. And so you don't have a chance to hear as much. But wonderfully that tomorrow, the next few days, Jai Doik and others will give class. I was asked to give class this morning and tonight, tomorrow, to share something from one of my books. I guess we do that to get some prasadam, so I'll do something. I'll do my service. One or two other short things. Also, I feel like, I think in LA you say one of the homeboys. This used to be my base in Los Angeles many, many years ago. When we were shipping books to the library party, LA was our base. Of course, I was assistant to Ramaswar Maharaj for some time. And I offer my most humble respects to Jayadeva Maharaj, who I was thinking at one point of staying as a secretary. And Maharaj, he told me, he says, get out of here and go traveling and preach. So I owe him all respects for allowing me to have this wonderful, blissful opportunity of traveling around all the time as a sannyasi, meet so many nice devotees. Wonderful opportunity. Otherwise, I would probably be Savas's vice president. Maybe he may decide to allow me to have that service in the future anyway.
You can still do that.
I think I'd like to be in charge of the Sankirtan. I'll be the Sankirtan leader. So today is also the appearance day of Sri Lochan Thakur. As I was dressing Prabhupada this morning, I was thinking how it's amazing how we have not only our present Acharya, our founder Acharya, we have so many great Acharyas and so many Mahajans and so many Rishis to hear about, so that we can be very clear about what is to be done and how it is to be done and why it is to be done. We don't have only, which is quite wholesome itself, we have so many reflections about Krishna's pastimes. As we hear about the Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, we realize it's overwhelming that there's so much to digest, that there's so much variegatedness, heterogeneity when it comes to the spiritual culture of bhakti, and that we have no reason to be bored or to be depressed, or no reason to be inactive, because there's always so much to work on. And even at the point of liberation, we see, as mentioned in this particular purport, that there is still so much higher to be able to experience. I was just finding something a little while ago to read. Let me read one or two paragraphs so that we reflect on this wonderful great Acharya as we look at the verse. Sri Lochan Das Thakur, appearance day. Sri Lochan Das Thakur was born in a Brahmana family near Katwa, West Bengal, in 1520. Lochan Das's father's name was Sri Kamalakara Das, and his mother's name was Sri Sada Nadini. He was their only son, and he spent much of his youth living at home with his grandparents, where he began his education. As a young boy, see one or two paragraphs. As a young boy, Lochan Das met devotees of Lord Chaitanya. He had great attachment for the Lord and was very detached from worldly enjoyment. As a young man, Lochan Das accepted Sri Narahari Sarakar, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, as his spiritual master. Lochan Das writes, "My hope of hopes is to be near the lotus feet of Sri Narahari Thakur, to serve and to worship with my very life. My Lord is Sri Narahari Thakur, and I am his servant. Bowing and praying before him, I beg him to allow me his service. This is my only aspiration." Sri Narahari Thakur was an expert composer of devotional songs, and he instructed Lochan Das in that art. Lochan Das wrote many songs, some of which are found, of course, in our ISKCON songbooks. And he wrote a book about Lord Chaitanya called, do we know, what was the name of that book?
Chaitanya Mangala.
Yes, Chaitanya Mangala, very famous book. To write Chaitanya Mangala, Lochan Das took inspiration from a Sanskrit book by Sri Murari Gupta entitled Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charita. Lochan Das writes that very Murari Gupta, who lived in Nadia, composed many Sanskrit verses about the life of Sri Gauranga, which he later arranged in the form of a book. Having heard these verses from Murari Gupta, Damodar Pandit, he taught them to me, and I memorized them with great delight. Maybe one other short thing here. Lochan Das wrote Chaitanya Mangala, which tells about these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. that were not revealed by Vrindavan Das Thakur or Krishnadas Kaviraj. So some of the pastimes he shares were not even mentioned by Krishnadas or Kaviraj or Vrindavan Das Thakur. He mentions especially touching conversations Sri Gaurasundar had with Vishnu Priya Devi the night before he took sannyas. Lochan Das told Mahaprabhu's pastimes in beautiful poetry filled with fire and rhythm. Common people could easily understand the divine character of Sri Chaitanya and awaken their religious feelings. As devotees regularly chant the epics Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gaudiya Vaishnavas still wander through Bengal reciting the Chaitanya Mangala. And we know the wonderful song that Prabhupada used to sing. While singing Parama Karuna, Sri Prabhupada would plunge into the ocean of Gauranga Prema. Prabhupada wrote an extensive commentary on his bhajan, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. Lochan Das asked everyone, "My dear brother, just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm faith and conviction. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will lead to the desired goal. Don't think that it will not. It is the assurance that Lord Chaitanya himself gives." Lochan Das has his samadhi in 64 different places. So interesting, we see that the devotees of the Lord, just as Lochan is saying, he only wants the shelter of his great spiritual master, Narahari Thakur. See, the devotees are not interested in mukti or siddhi. They have no fascination with material aggrandizement, material opulences. They have no real consideration about salvation or mukti. Or they're interested in the siddhic powers. Because we find that they seemingly want nothing because they want everything. If you think about that, is that pastime after pastime, expression after expression of the Sudha Bhaktas, we find that they don't want anything. It's like someone's offering you some very peaceful concern, and you're not interested because you want something better, or you have something better. So they, mind you, from time to time, when even have an opportunity to have the most amazing boons, whether it's Krishna himself offering Lord Chaitanya, or whether it's the devas, that we find something very interesting that is expressed by them, which is a way to help us to become more focused in what to aspire for and how to think of what kind of mind culture to have. Notice how time and time again, when the devotees have opportunity for liberation, they have opportunity for some opulences, for some boon, they ask for always to think of Krishna. I just never forget him. They ask only to be able to be in association with the devotees. They ask only to always be able to serve the Vaishnavas. Because really they are reminding us that everything is there within the service of the Lord. And they're reminding us that really being Krishna consciousness is not an innovation. It is not something new. It is not something that somehow has to be created. It's what the living entity always was and is. It's just that we are, as Prabhupada says, we have forgotten. And so, the soul being Satchitananda Vigraha, we realize that everyone in his or her original nature is already fully Krishna conscious. You know, it's a certain endeavor and trying to get something, have something, be something that is totally outside of what we are, what we have chance, you know, to connect with. It's another phenomena to have and somehow to minimize or have and to forget, or unfortunately to have and to abuse. The process of atmavijaya self-realization is really reclaiming, re-identifying. And so that is as simple but it's also difficult because there's so many things that become a part of our acculturation. And even as we participate in the royal path of bhakti, there's so many distractions, Kama Mishra Bhakti and Yoga Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. The bhakti gets contaminated with fruitive concerns. The bhakti gets contaminated with mental gymnastics and too much mental speculation. The bhakti can get contaminated with too much desire to experience the Shakti of Krishna rather than honoring the Shakti Mom. The bhakti can be upon us, but if we're not careful, we still can minimize that which we are. When you think about it, it's so refreshing to think that we just have to remove those things that are superfluous within our lives to be able to experience such animated and divine and loving association. This says when Prabhupada explained how when we have the darshan of Lord Jagannath and we pull Jagannath cart and people are so blessed and one becomes liberated. So what does that mean? And what does it mean that even the third class devotee is or can be liberated? Or sometimes we say that the one who engages in devotional service is liberated. We give the example of like the fan. You pull the plug out and the fan takes a while before it stops. We realize, yes, is that Krishna has no favorites. Samoham Savabhut Deshu is kind, equal to all. We also know that Maya is an equal opportunity employer. And Maya doesn't care what yatra you're in, what part of the world, how long you've been chanting. I've just come in from Mexico, and we ask devotees to pray for those devotees there. We have been struggling trying to save the temple, and we win the case, and then they win the case, and we win again, and we just won the case. And now the local government is finding another way to try to close the temple down. So Maya doesn't care what part of the world, what yatra, Maya will try to find various ways in trying to slow down the Sankirtan mission. And so it's our duty to constantly try to minimize ways of how Maya can come in. So much of the legal situations we're dealing with really has to do with certain lack of carrying things out on the part of the devotees, regularizing things, etc. So when we allow Maya to have opportunities, then of course you have an enemy. Enemy is constantly trying to find way of how to demise, destroy, devastate the person or situation. Maya, being so expert, working on behalf of Krishna, knows where every single yatra, project, family, or devotee is weak. And so wherever there is some weakness, we should know that is going to be a specific area that Maya is going to try to attack. And so where there is weakness, or where there is some ambiguity, then we have to clarify, or we have to strengthen ourselves, knowing that this is the nature of how Kali works. So when we do not take proper care of our facilities, proper care of what Krishna has arranged, proper care of our consciousness, our lives with strong sadhana, then of course Maya will come in. And if we have proper, Maya will still attack, but there will not be the same effect. As a matter of fact, the more that our projects and the more that our devotees are proper, the more when Maya attacks, it actually glorifies Krishna consciousness. The more that we have our projects strong, when Maya tries to attack, ultimately there will be glorification. The more the devotee is genuinely devoted, when Maya attacks, ultimately there will be greater glorification. Because one, as Maya attacks and we're properly situated, we get stronger. And as Maya attacks, it also draws attention to whether bhakti is authentic or not. And Maya attacking is also a way to let us see and take notice if we are sufficiently strong, if we're sufficiently weak. So Maya, once it's working for Krishna, to let us know what needs to be fixed or what needs to be given attention to. If we fall prey to intoxications, illicit sex, gambling, whatever, then this is really Krishna helping us to see, hold it. This has to be put in order. But if we are too devious, too much in forgetfulness, then even when Krishna gives us a chance to put ourselves in order, put our projects in order, etc., we'll still miss the opportunity. Bhaktisiddhanta, he mentions how, in terms of liberation, we hear different things sometimes, 10 generations, 100 generations. He explains how when a pure devotee is born in an environment, for hundreds of miles, people are blessed. It's like when a demon, big demon takes birth. It has such an effect on the atmosphere. It's like a curse. And that such devotee can liberate 100 generations. And this is, of course, for first class devotee, Uttama. And that a Majjhama Adhikari can elevate, he explains, 14 generations. And even a third class devotee, Kanishta, can elevate 3 generations. It's like we find now that our grandparents are dying off, our parents are dying, and even, of course, some of us are leaving the body. And in some cases, some devotees' parents, Krishna is arranging interesting situations of how they leave the body. And in many cases, you can see that the parents are getting blessed because their son or their daughter is participating in Krishna consciousness. And members of the family. And many, many of our relatives who are karmically connected with us, as they when they leave the body, they'll be so thankful that somehow they had son or daughter who was in the Hare Krishna movement. Because they will be able to prosper and benefit. Some will reach a level beyond what their quality is because of the fact that they have been graced and blessed by a devotee who's in their family. So we don't want to be third class devotees. We want, even though there is such benefit just by having any contact with devotional service. What to say, Majjhama, Uttama, Uttama platform. So the devotee is not just trying to focus on liberation. He's not interested just in being freed of material problems and complexities and all the contamination that's associated with that. One wants to be the slave of Krishna. We hear in most languages, even surrender, would they say slave, is very negative, you know, connotation. Surrender, in most languages, you know, deals with that you are forced upon. You have to agree in spite. You have to give in to someone else's desires. That you're overpowered. You're conquered over. You're at the mercy of some other entity or situation. But we see surrender in the mood of a young child. Some of your parents, you have small kids. Sometimes the kid is in anxiety. And the kid is just thinking, when Pita or Mata come, everything is going to be okay. Or they see the mother, father, and just run into the mother's arms. So the child is fully taking shelter of the presence of the mother or the father with full confidence that now everything is going to be okay. So this is our mood of surrender. We're not just seeing Krishna as the Aishwarya, the great controller, who the autocrat was just demanding, surrender to me or I'll smash you, eternally burn you, etc. But the mood of being able to take the full shelter, the Shivanagati, that yes, there is precariousness, there is problems, there is fear, there is anxiety, there is gloom and frustration, but there is also solace in that shelter as we take advantage of the association of the Lord. And so we want to rush by trying to reclaim what is ours. But look how powerful that Kali is in working very hard to keep the living entity distracted from accepting the most natural way to live and accepting the most natural way way to be. And just think how wonderful and powerful it is when we are freed from this addiction and amnesia. It's like being in a mature world is just an amalgamation of different kinds of addictions. Now, reflect for a minute. How does one healthily get out of an addiction? See, people addicted to all kinds of things now. It doesn't matter. Alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, eating, all kinds of things. So often, people have the addiction because it gives them some kind of artificial security, stimulation. People have an addiction because it's become part of their peer group association, what happens. People take shelter because of things not working. But now, when one has an addiction, most of the time people have knowledge that what they do is bad. So often people have awareness, they're cognizant of seeing others who have that addiction and what it's doing to them. But they still continue. Especially with drugs, most people have addiction, even though they go to rehabilitation. Most, go back on it. But what is one of the most prominent things that helps a person to be freed from an addiction? Help me out on that. What's one of the most prominent things? Yes. Surrender to God. That is ultimate, the most prominent for any problem. Is very important. And not only association, but associating with those who have been there, had that, and have risen above it. In other words, if people just read pamphlets, if they hear a lecture, they hear it and intellectually understand it, but being able to change and make transformation, it doesn't happen fully just based on the knowledge, although the knowledge is important. The association, it gives some reinforcement, but often people associate and they create a pity party. Oh, yes, you have all these, amazing support groups, and they have value, but they also create pity parties. Oh, yes, I'm also the son of, an alcoholic parent. I'm also a product of child abuse. I'm also an abandoned child. I'm also an orphan. And they come together and they reinforce each other through that association. And their identity is based on that difficulty that has been an integral part of their life. And they focus so much around that. People can come together. Oh, yes, I'm an alcoholic. After my husband died, I became an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because of this, because of that. So just associating with other alcoholics doesn't change. Doesn't bring transformation. It may bring a little bit of peace that you're not the only one who has this issue. But the major change happens when there are those who have had that experience and now they are free, they are clean for 20, 30, 35, 40 years, etc. So what actually brings the greatest transformation in the most authentic and the most profound and categorical way, we have more and more devotees who are genuinely having a higher taste, having greater realization, giving up sense gratification, and then that will have an overflow and that will raise the basic level of our society. We've seen how there were times when devotees were only distributing, the BTG and a few Krishna books. Then you have a few devotees who start distributing lots of BTGs, and then somehow that catches on. Then you have devotees who start distributing the Krishna book, and then they start doing Bhagavatam, and then so many books. Or we had times when devotees were doing incense or doing candles. And somebody said, oh yes, so maybe we can do that in our temple also. Or someone sees, oh, this devotee distributed 50 books today. And a person who's only doing magazines realizes it is possible to distribute 50 hardbound books. Often, like in the Olympics, sometimes you have two people from the same team who win the gold and they win the silver and sometimes even the bronze. Because someone on that team or some players are so good, it brings the competition. It brings everything up to a higher bar, higher standard. And so therefore, because someone is doing very high or a few doing very good in basketball and track or whatever, and That now brings the whole team. So as there is more and more deeper devotion in each temple, each project, in the society, that will lovingly impact on the environment and will demand a higher level of purity on behalf of all of us. And this will accelerate our service to Prabhupada by leaps and bounds. Why? Because Maya is contagious. As well as bhakti is contagious. I just finished, you know, this year, 25 country world tour, and last year, 35 country world tour. And I was amazed, of course, amazed at so many wonderful things, but also I was amazed to see the tremendous low culture of trust and faith permeating throughout our society. But then how can you blame the average devotee? Faith becomes strong when, because faith has a lot to do with anticipation of the future. So if your past has been rocky, the present is uncertain, then it is not so easy to have strong faith about the future for most devotees. If they've had rocky pasts, the present is also quite ambiguous, precarious, then to make that leap and have strong faith is not so easy. We become more faithful when we are surrounded with people who have more faith, become more faithful when more things happen in our lives that allow us to become more encouraged about what else can happen. We become more faithful when we associate with others who also have more faith, and not just blind faith, because blind faith leads into the same kind of intensity of the opposite polarity. One who is blind faith is very dedicated in a superficial way, and then becomes just antagonistic, sometimes with the same intensity. So we have this low culture, low trust and faith, because in so many cases, so many things have happened around us, have happened to us, weakens that faith. But devotees sometimes have to be more mindful of what we are doing and what we can become and what we ultimately are. That we're not trying to become something different from what we really are. We're trying to look closer to see what's the purpose, what needs to be given up, so we can reclaim our original heritage, our original identity. And we're trying to see how to avoid so much of the kind of allurements that Maya makes, even when one is trying to surrender in the process of bhakti. Free will is like so awesome. It is so powerful. And it is also so scary. How we use our free will determines everything about who we are and what we experience and how fast we unfold or to what degree we remain incarcerated. Just think how when Lord Chaitanya was going to southern India, and the devotees wanted Mahaprabhu, you know, to take servants with him. And of course, because they pleaded on his behalf, they knew that, oh, when you become so overwhelmed, you may not eat, you may fall down and hurt yourself, and in your moods of great prema, ecstasy. So he agreed to take, young boy, 16, 17 years old, Kala Krishna Das. Now think about that for a moment. Here, Kala Krishna Das was the only servant traveling alone with Lord Chaitanya, who was not just, Krishna appearing as a great controller or his Aishwarya form, who was Lord Chaitanya, Krishna appearing as a devotee, giving the most delicate way of how to serve, giving the most loving personal association. Krishna coming in the bhav of Srimati Radharani, representing the essence of bhakti, Ladini Shakti. And here Kala Krishna Das was with him alone, serving. And he blooped. Huh? Unbelievable. When the Bhattaharis, they had this wonderful way of tricking, getting a nice boy, attracted to a nice girl to a nice boy, and they told him, oh, come and be with us. You can become Raj, become king, become powerful, enjoy many things immediately, not have to undergo all this austerity and restriction and renunciation. Come and enjoy. Kala Krishna Das said, sounds interesting. And he left. And even when Mahaprabhu called for him, he refused to come. Lujanya grabbed him by the secret, took him, and then he dismissed him. Amazing how powerful free will is and how we can have so much right with us and still minimize so much. If we're not more and more grateful daily in our devotional service, in time, we're going to lose something. We'll minimize it. What Srila Prabhupada has given us and the association of Vaishnavas is like so overwhelming of what is brought forth through the mercy of Rukmini Dwarkadas in association with devotees. We have chance to constantly to learn. It doesn't mean just learning from those who were in the same temple, the same project, the same service, or those who we agree with. We have so much time to learn, as much sometimes even learn more from those who we disagree. Many times people who disagree with you can help you to grow, to learn, to change, or to see something, or to become more humble, much more than those who think the same way how you think. That on all sectors we have chance to learn how to see, how to serve. In the process, we just have to be careful that we remain focused as sadhus. We have a wonderful chance to be able to every day realize the day is a day that I can become so much more Krishna conscious. Look how, Dvaitacharya had two sons who were impersonalists. Lord Nityananda, when Sri Abhiram Thakur was offering obeisances to the deities, to different devotees, he offered obeisances to seven sons of Lord Nityananda. Only, what's his name, Virabhadra, the only one, eighth son, who was able to live on, to sustain, had that level of purity. So here, even Lord Nityananda, having these sons, and still there is free will. Even and Lord Nityananda is who? Who is Lord Nityananda? Balaram. And Advaitacharya. Who is Advaitacharya? Mahavishnu. So here even Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, even their own sons directly under them. What do you say of our own Srila Prabhupada? We don't hear a whole lot about Prabhupada's children, do we? Most of you probably don't even know how many sons or daughters the Prabhupada had. Anybody know? How many? Yes. Three sons and two daughters. We hear very little about them. Prabhupada's oldest son, was trying at one point to take over the whole of ISKCON. Professing that ISKCON is a business, his father was a businessman, ISKCON is his business, he's the oldest son, the rights should be his. And we see, of course, in our own cases, we have children, and we can even try to give them the very best, but they still have their free will. So sometimes we have to be much more fearful about the misuse of the free will. I usually try to pray, Krishna, force me. Prabhupada, force me. Because if I rely on my intelligence and my perception, I will just make so many, many mistakes. I make mistakes anyway. But still make that prayer. Just force me to do the right thing in the right way at the right time. Huh? And every now and then, I interfere anyway and try to back out of being forced. But the free will is like so dangerous because it's so powerful. And so it causes us to forget that we're actually pure entities who have so much. Great treasures. It causes us to maintain this kind of addiction. And addiction, we know, can be so overwhelming that when we are addicted, one becomes like possessed. And just centering your whole life around those addictions. See, this is what is it called? Divine madness. Is that when you think about it, everybody is mad. It's whether we're going to be mad for sense gratification or we're going to be mad for bhakti, for prema. Is that one is being pushed and pushed and pushed by trying to deal with addressing all the needs of the vagas, of the senses. Or we look at the life of the deep devotees when they say they want nothing. It's like a madness. I want nothing. They get a chance to be offered all kinds of things, all kinds of boons, all kinds of cities, all kinds of mystic perfections. And they say, hey, Baba, I want nothing. Like you see a madman, a homeless person in the street, they're kind of mad. And they're just eating out of garbage cans and they're doing this. And they're thinking, wow, so much to enjoy. They're sleeping in the streets. They're thinking, oh, got a comfortable place. Looking at other people as if they're, you know, the more a person is mad, the more they think everybody else is mad. Everybody's mad. People running all about, and they're just lying down enjoying. So there is madness. But we want the transcendental madness. We're only thinking about Krishna. We're just excited and eager to hear more about the Nama Rupa Guna and Leelas. And where we are not only hearing, but we're beginning to have the books as like windows to the spiritual world. Because keep in mind, faith is as strong as there are results. If somebody promises you $25,000, and it's been 6 months now and they haven't given you anything, what happens? You realize you feel you've been duped, or you feel the person's cheated, or you feel they can't deliver. But if they've given you already 15, 20, they've given you 16, 18, you consider that the other is also coming. If we go on year after year in our devotional service, and we're at the same level of consciousness, and we're not having deeper inner experiences, realizations, if we're not having deeper appreciation for Vaishnavas, then, of course, at some point, we're going to take, again, shelter of mature energy. Because it's just natural that everyone needs ruchi tastes, and we are starving for some pleasures. And so the faith becomes stronger as we are around people who have more faith, as we are more grateful, have more gratitude of what we have, and we begin to go deeper and deeper into what Prabhupada has given us. The faith gets stronger as we begin to have less and less attachments to sense gratification. And as we're tasting something nice, we want more. Last night I had a nice soup. I was thinking, oh, it's so nice. How wonderful it would be to have more. But it's too late. I should take rest. When you have something nice, you want more. And you become more astute, more alert, more eager for the next experience. When there's such a culture of pajampa, such a culture of low faith, such a culture of deviation, such a culture of speculation, then that becomes also contagious. So devotees of the Lord, we see that they are, when even have a chance, and have a chance for liberation, they say, hold a minute, I don't want that. I don't want anything. But they're really saying, I want the highest. I don't want just some mukti city. I don't just want some aspect of the Lord. I want to be all for the Lord, and knowing that the Lord will be all for such person. Let me just share it real quick and then we'll stop. Here's some short examples. Remember the story of King Muchukunda. When he had the chance to meet Krishna, and he was offered a boon, Krishna appeared and he asked him. And he only replied that he didn't want any boon, but only eternal service of the Lord. Here he had a chance to ask for wealth, opulences, for knowledge, for fame. No. He said, I don't want any of those small things. One has to give up everything to ultimately get everything. He wanted the highest. In the case of the kings and the princesses that were in prison by Jarasandha, they would say they did not want liberation, that they would take birth into many, many species. But their concern was, their prayer was to never to forget the Lord. Keep in mind, we are all originally Krishna conscious. And our real issue is forgetfulness, denying what we naturally have and taking shelter of other things. Prithu Maharaj, when he has finished the 99th horse sacrifice, when Vishnu appeared, remember, and Gas offered him benedictions. And what did he ask? Did he say, hey, Vishnu, it's about time. You know, I thought you weren't going to appear. It's about time. Now that you ask what I want, sit down a minute, let me tell you. Why are you so hard to get? Now, finally, I got your ear. Let me let you know all the things that I want. But what he asked was to always to hear from the mouth of your pure devotees. Again and again we hear they only ask never to forget Krishna, always only to be in association with the Lord, with his devotees. Everything else can happen this way, that way, didn't matter, because that is a real issue. And the Mayan culture is everything. Runti Dev, after all of the fasting that he went through, all the challenges that the demigods gave to him, and then when the demigods were themselves amazed, they wanted to see these Suda Bhaktas, how do they behave? And they saw in the life example of Runti Dev. And what did he ask? He didn't say, well, let me have one thing. You guys don't ever bother me again. Don't ever give me this kind of test. I mean, I don't know if I could pass it again. But he only wanted to always, similar, always to be able to think of Krishna. See Sudama, the devotee who offered the flowers, the flower maker. After serving Krishna and Balaram, giving them gifts, and he was offered a boon, what was his reply? That he might remain the eternal servant, always thinking of the Lord. In the case of Sudama Vipra also, who was quite impoverished. But did he ask? Did he demand for material things? He only wanted nothing, only to always serve and never forget. One or two last ones. Remember there's a classical case also of Prahlad Maharaj. After pacifying the Lord, and he was asked a request, he spoke against asking for anything and said he had no desire, but if there was a desire, that all material desires be removed from his head. That all of those things, because he's pure, but he's speaking also for us, that all of those things that are superfluous, that cause us not to realize and accept what we are, cause us not to think of the Lord fully and to be there fully for him, remove all of that. Dhruva Maharaj, after killing so many yakshas, Kuvera offers him a boon when he begs never to forget the Lord and to have unflinching faith. Kolavetra Sridhar, during the Maha Prakash, Lord Chaitanya offered him to make him a great king. He only wanted to be his eternal servants. And then last, so many cases, I'm just giving a few, Advaita and also Murari. This was during the Mahaprakash also. Both were asked for a boon, but they only request to be eternal servants of the Lord. So these devotees, it's shown us, they don't want material things or material opulences. They don't want liberation, that they are above liberation, and that what they really want is always to be thinking about the Lord. So as we talked about in this verse, is that how even the third class devotee can receive liberation, that Bhaktisiddhanta explains the opulences of being a devotee, of how we're in this, and we are also having a chance to help so many souls. We find ourselves getting weak and bewildered. We should realize that somehow if we can become pure, we continue, so many entities who are connected with us, who may not have the slightest opportunity to be able to say yes to Krishna in this lifetime, that they will get so much facilitation and help just by the fact that there is a devotee in their family. We know that devotees are categorized by faith, whether it's Uttama Majjham or a Kanishtha Adhikara. But faith is not something that can be faked. Faith has a lot to do with our acceptance of something that's very potent, and then we experience it. It has so much to do with what we're anticipating for the future. But we mentioned that we are like addicts or like someone who's dealing with amnesia. And so the person who's dealing with amnesia has certain similar kinds of things that they're previously associated with come a part of their life. It has its way to stimulate and to, you know, regenerate some past reflections that then begins to its own, has a life of its own. When someone has an addiction, one of the best ways, along with the knowledge, along with associations, is having more contact, more experiences where the higher bhakti spills over, or seeing the process work more. And the process works more for us as we work more in the proper way. And then last, we discussed about these particular examples of different personalities in the Shastra. And there's so many that when it really comes down to it, we see that they are special because of who they are and how they think and what their desires are. And so they are helping us to see how to become like them. We want to become like someone. We study what they do, how they think, what their aspirations are. So even when they have chance for all kinds of things, that their main concern, let me always think of you, let me always be in association with your devotees. Because they're letting us know that they don't want anything superficial. They want the topmost. And the topmost is reclaiming our original identity that has been so much covered over, that's lying dormant. So we're all liberated. It's just a matter of what degrees we have allowed ourselves to forget. So much of the message of the Acharyas is Jiva Jago, is to rise, to wake up, and once again, come back to the land of eternal romance, animated adventures, and association and knowledge that increases at every moment. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? The question is, time for breakfast, Prasad, right? Done. So, Dr. Maharaj will give me Bhagavatam class tomorrow. And I think the next few days we may alternate who gives the Bhagavad Gita class. ISKCON Founder, Charge of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki, J.C. Rukmini Dwokadesh Ki. Hare Krishna. Sri Lokchanda Kod Das Ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.